Now, when I'm trying to do it all, be a mom and work and be a wife and clean the house and all that kind of stuff, I do nothing of it well. Like none of it gets done well, the fullest. So I have very specific hours in which I'm fully working. I'm fully mom. I'm fully doing errands so that I'm not trying to do it all at one time, if that makes sense. So yeah, so I have those strict boundaries on myself and that helps me be so productive and fully my best self in each of the roles that I have.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. Well, I was really excited to pin down my guest today on the podcast. Maggie Bargoff is a functional medicine nurse practitioner and health consultant who works with celebrities, entertainers, athletes, and CEOs to some of the most progressive companies in the world. She also has a variety of programs so that, you know, people like you and I can access incredible health information. And she is the creator of a high-level mastermind for health and wellness practitioners and enthusiasts who are looking to take their work online. I share all of this because it is emblematic of the very cool stuff that Maggie is putting out into the world. Not only has she built a very successful business and helps people in a really significant way, but she's done it with two small kids at home. And so what I wanted to know from Maggie was, how did she grow her business while balancing all these pieces? What are some of her secrets to success? And what does she do when she's had a really horrific night of waking up with small young people? Maggie is a force to be reckoned with and one of the nicest people you will ever meet. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce you to my friend, Maggie Bargoff. Maggie Bargoff, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
We have a lot to unpack here because you're one of my favorite types of guests where we can talk about business and we can talk about health and we can make this super efficient for everyone because we can do it all under one roof. So to give people a little bit of background on that, can you share with everyone what you are about, what you do, and how you got to where you are right now?
Yes. Okay. So quick history, a long time ago, my body went through a massive health crash. I started getting crazy symptoms, bloating, gained 50 pounds, was so tired even though I was sleeping all night. And it's ultimately what led me to do what I'm doing now. So it's important. When I was sick, I was in the traditional medical model. I was a nurse practitioner. So I was trained at Vanderbilt University. I was working at the hospital, you know, doing a typical take this pill for this symptom type of model. And it was in that failed medical system that I found functional medicine, which is really addressing the root cause of what's going on inside of your body, asking deeper questions, spending more time with your clients to know the story, their goals, the history. And that's what got me into practicing the way I practice now. So from a health perspective, I really, really enjoy digging into people's cases. They kind of call me like the health detective. I'm their little health detective, figuring out what's going on in their body, how to optimize it, how to get them feeling and looking amazing every day.
And you have a really unique way in which you're able to work with your clients. Can you share a bit about your model?
Yeah, so all virtual. When I was creating my business, transitioning into a functional medicine practice, I decided that virtual was definitely the way to go because I wanted to make the biggest impact I could. And I knew that just having a brick and mortar in my current community would be fantastic, but I needed to have an online portion as well, right? An online presence. So I see clients from all over the world and I work with them in a virtual capacity, similar to just you and I, you know, virtually talking right now. Everybody pops onto their appointment time on Zoom video. They can schedule themselves on their live calendar that they have. And it's a really cool relationship.
And how does that change in terms of someone who worked one-on-one with patients and are now delivering it in an online context? What does that mean for care? Like, how do you fully evaluate someone's health through the online space? I mean, we certainly do this in our practice, but I think this is the big question for everybody as they're just trying to shift their mindset around what this looks like.
Yeah, so you're not doing everything, right? I'm not doing physical exams on my clients. I do have them sign a form that they see their practitioner in town at least a year within seeing me so that we know, you know, the big things are ruled out. I can't do an ultrasound on a client or see their tongue fully, right? So we're not doing as much physical examination. However, most of my clients who are coming to me, that's not what they need. They need the detailed lab work to find out what's going on in their body, and that I can do virtually. So I'm able to assess their symptoms, spend 90 minutes with them on their initial case, really understanding what's going on, order the proper lab work for them and send it to them wherever they are in the world. And then with that lab work, with their story, with their goals, and seeing them, even though it's virtually, you still see the person. So you still feel really connected. We're seeing each other weekly for many of my clients. So we still create that really close bond that's needed for healing. The only thing is the physical examination. But in my experience, my clients get amazing results, fully resolve their symptoms. I've had people heal autoimmune disease, come off of medication, cancel surgeries, shrink tumor sizes, all behind my computer screen. So it's not necessary to do it all in person.
Yeah, you know, I love the balance of those two pieces and philosophies, because there is certainly tremendous power as a clinician to see people one-on-one. And I find it's actually such a missed opportunity in the traditional system, because it's, you know, we look at people or we look at simple blood work and we're like, oh, you know what? You're not in a state of active disease, or, you know, the five markers that I ran are not indicating anything significantly problematic. And people who are operating way less than optimal are walking out of physicians' offices every single day being told that they are fine. And I know fine is not nearly close to the standard that you have for people. How would you define optimal health?
Yeah, so I mean, I want my clients feeling on top of the world most every day. Now, a lot of people feel like it's okay. Like you said, fine. It's fine that I'm tired after work because I worked really hard and it's evening time. It's fine that I'm waking up sleepy because, you know, it's Monday. Everybody wakes up groggy and sleepy and grumpy on Monday. You know, whatever it is, it's not fine. So I hold my clients to really high standards to make sure that they're always elevating their life and open to growth, no matter what that looks like to them. Now, from a health perspective, it's physical health, right? We want their lab data to be great so that we can prevent things down the road. But I'm also looking at mental health. I'm looking at their lifestyle habits. I'm looking at their growth potential and really how they navigate their life, their family, their business, their everything through a health and wellness perspective.
And what kind of clients are you working with? Because I know they're up to really cool things too.
Yeah, so I work with everybody from stay-at-home mamas and then top number one athletes in their fields. We work with a lot of entertainers. Top eight-figure business owners, some of the, you know, biggest world thought leaders out there, which is pretty cool. Just to know that everybody has health concerns. You can look at somebody and they're powerful, they're killing it, they're making so much money, and they feel like you feel like they've got it all together, and sometimes they don't. And sometimes there's little things that they wish were fixed too, like their nagging symptoms or some chronic pain that they're dealing with, or they're groggy in the morning. So we really work to up-level their health.
Yeah, and I work with a similar population, and I'm really curious, let's compare some notes here. What are some of the things that you are seeing as really common frustrations amongst that population? Because I have probably a top three in rotation for people who are otherwise healthy. They're not managing a chronic disease. What are some of the things that you're seeing?
Energy. A lot of them want more energy. They want to work like a machine, right? Like they are top performers, but they're wanting more energy, more productivity. They want to sleep better at night. They want to shut their mind off at night and, you know, close the thoughts that are running through their head and the anxiety that may be coming up. That's a big one for a lot of my clients.
And how do you address it with them?
Full body healing. Everybody goes through the lab work. So we're getting inflammation out of their body wherever it may be present, whether that be food, heavy metals, gut parasites, bacteria, so that their body, instead of handling that stress, the stress of those unwanted toxins and things coming into their body, the body can handle boosting its immune system, balancing hormones, combating stress, regulating circadian rhythm and sleep cycles. So that's really one of the first forefront is nourishing their body and ridding of the toxins, ridding of the offender things that are coming at them.
And do you have some standard, like what are the standard tests that you really love to run on everybody?
I love a food intolerance test. And there's a lot of conflicting research out there, but I have found one that I found is highly accurate. It's amazing. My clients get fantastic results with it. And I just feel like it's the easiest thing ever because black and white, they know this food is causing me inflammation. This food is making me feel amazing. So it's just, you know what to do for your body. And it's tricky because without that test, a lot of my clients, they're trying elimination diets or AIP or, low FODMAP or whatever type of diet it is. And they're eating what they think is healthy, mm-hmm. but that their body inflames to lemon or celery or avocado or anything that they thought was okay for their body. And it's that healthy thing that's actually causing them damage. So I love that test.
And do you come back to it and run it again after you've done cleaning up work, for lack of a better term, with people?
Yep. I love getting the stats. So after 6 months, we retest the food intolerance. At the beginning of 6 months, we take out the food intolerance test for the entire time. The entire 6 months, as we rebalance their body, the foods are out, which is different than a lot of people with elimination type diets. They take it out for 6 or so weeks, add it back in with a rotation. We just take it all out 6 months, rebalance the body, heal it up. And then at the end of the 6 months, we'll retest and check to see if everything's gone, if they maybe have a new food intolerance that snuck in there, and repeat the process.
Yeah, I'm deeply fascinated with the role of food sensitivity pieces. And I find what it does more than anything is just reminds me that everybody is so incredibly unique in terms of their profiles. And, but there's a constant and perpetual conversation in the marketplace related to, you should be on a keto diet, or you should be on a plant-based diet, or you should be on this based diet. And everybody is so different. Do you have a way that you like to build people's diets, or do you really base it on the unique testing that you get when people come through the door, the virtual door?
Yeah, my virtual door. So everybody gets put on their own nutrition plan, and it's curated from their goals as well as their symptoms and their lab data. So I use all three to kind of formulate their perfect plan. And a lot of it has to do with the typical things, the standards that I hold, such as, don't be eating packaged food. Don't go out to fast food. Like standard diets are, the standard American diet is what we call it, the SAD diet of processed food, fast food, reliance on convenience items. And so we're talking and educating a lot about that. But furthermore, they're taking out their food intolerance. And then with the nutrient levels that they're deficient in, we're making sure we boost foods that are high in those levels. And we even test their metabolism rate. So we know if their body fuels better on a little extra fat, or maybe their body does better with a little extra carbohydrates. And we can tell that with their data.
Yeah, it's so key. And beyond, once we get beyond diet, what are the other tenets of lifestyle that you support with your patients?
So I talk a lot about optimizing their home. It's where a lot of people spend the most time, the home and the office. And we are looking at things like their air quality, the water they're drinking, even how they breathe, their EMF exposure, electromagnetic frequencies. So all of these added stressors on the body that could be harming them, we focus a lot there to get that out. I say clear the muddy water so that the body can start to heal itself.
They say that you are the product of the five people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to uplevel their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. Yeah, and I feel like so often it's that, right? We just need to get things out of the way, and the body is intelligent. It absolutely knows what needs to get done. What's your
The body.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, the body is way smarter than you and I. So if we can just give it a little hand in the right direction, it's going to heal itself. It knows what to do, and it wants to get well.
Well, and so many people will debate this. They're like, oh, that's so philosophically based and it's all these things. Except I find for the most part, these people have actually never tried eliminating all of the sources of stress or certainly reducing the noise and stress within their health before they make that comment. Like it's so liberating when you actually have the knowledge and capacity to evaluate your lifestyle start to finish and move things out of the way that are just taxing you unnecessarily.
Exactly. And that's where mindset comes into play, which is something that I do focus with my clients a lot, because it is important that you truly believe you can heal and you truly believe that what you're doing is helping you, and just getting in the right frame of gratitude, appreciation, and relaxation, really getting rid of stress and all of that good stuff.
Okay, so you have a pretty busy life. You've got a really successful business. You've got two very young kids. Take us through some of the tenets of your own day that help you to maintain this element of balance.
So one thing that I have found most productive for me is blocking my time and setting boundaries. Now, when I'm trying to do it all, be a mom and work and be a wife and clean the house and all that kind of stuff, I do nothing of it well. Like, none of it gets done well, the fullest. So I have very specific hours in which I'm fully working. I'm fully mom. I'm fully doing errands so that I'm not trying to do it all at one time, if that makes sense.
Totally.
So I have those strict boundaries on myself, and that helps me be so productive and fully my best self in each of the roles that I have.
And do you get to sleep?
Yes, I do. Actually, I am like a baby grandma, as this one girl always says. I get to sleep a lot. So I'm usually in bed at like 8:30, 9 o'clock, to be honest.
Because you have very little people. So what do you do when they just like won't let you sleep through the night?
Okay, so that's valid. So that happens often. I have, for you who don't know me, I have a 2-year-old boy and a 4-month-old boy. So they are young, and sometimes the 4-month-old wakes up in the middle of the night, and then 2 hours later, the 2-year-old comes into our bedroom wanting to crawl into bed, and we have to go put him back into his bed, and the whole thing repeats itself. And that's just motherhood. So it's going to happen, and there's nothing I can do to stop it, right? Sleep training habits, of course, is helpful. But for the most part, what I have to do is know that that's a hit. Like, that is something that my body is just gonna have to go through right now. So what I'm doing is on the other things that I can control, I'm making sure that I'm up-leveling even further. My nutrition is point. I'm on point. I'm hydrated. I'm taking time for self-care, self-love, days off, relaxation, mindset. And I'm really being productive with the hours I do have and resting and listening to my body.
Do you have some favorite hacks for those days? Because we have a ton of female entrepreneurs in our audience. And I love that we're talking about this. We're like, it's all great until it's not great. And we had a night, 2 nights ago, we had like 3 kids in our bed at various times throughout the course of the evening. And so your best laid plans for the next day are often thrown off schedule. And I've got some few little things that I love to do. But do you have some like secret things you got in your back pocket that you just pull out when you're like, I've got to be on today no matter what?
Oh, gosh. If I have to perform that day and I just honestly suck it up, push through. I'm really good at self-motivating. I just have to get my mindset right, fuel my body. I always feel better when I have like some kind of I'm obsessed with hydration. So some kind of smoothie or green juice or electrolyte water. So I'm downing the nutrients to make sure that I'm performing better, but I'm making plans to, on the back end, relax and rest my body. So I'm on the phone scheduling a massage, or I'm telling my husband, hey, I'm taking a bath tonight, or I'm making sure that something is planned to allow my body to then recuperate if I do have to be on. Because sometimes as moms and business owners, we can take days off. At least I can, with the flexibility of my schedule as a virtual practice, I can change my schedule. But sometimes you have to show up if you're hosting an event or something of that matter.
Yeah, totally. I find when I've had those nights, certainly the hydration piece, I take it easy the next day. So if I haven't had a chance to sleep, I will not go to the gym. Like, I won't push hard. I'll go out for a walk. I'll get into nature. I will move, but I won't maybe move to the degree that I had planned. That will be one of the things that I reallocate to a different part of the week. But I find one of the things that helps my brain on those days is increasing my fat intake.
Oh yeah.
So I'll add coconut. I will add more MCT oils to my coffee. It doesn't matter what it is, but I'm just throwing this out there because the fat piece has been really amazing, I find, for my brain when I haven't had the sleep or I haven't had whatever else has derailed my best laid plans.
I think that's a really good point, both of those things. One with the exercise piece, I'm with you. When my body is fatigued, I do not push myself. I am not in the gym working out. I'm outside taking a walk or a bike ride or something like that, or yoga class. So that, and then with the fat, I do like to put fat content into like a matcha latte or even a coffee. If I'm doing coffee, which sometimes, and then smoothies, I do think that helps the brain. It makes you feel sharp, but even more than fat for my body, again, every body is so different, is the nutrients. Like, instead of my whole philosophy on food and nourishing is, instead of restricting, I'm thinking, what can I add? What can I add? What can I add? And so I'm constantly adding more nutrients into my diet, and it just makes me on fire.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I have green powder at multiple points throughout the course of my day if I don't have a chance to put in real food, because it's just ingredients and it's information and it's such positive information that it gives your body more to deal with. It's like filling the pantry.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Man, someday there will be a time where we can sleep sound through the night without the kiddos coming in.
I heard that. I heard that happens. I'm 8 years into this, and I heard it. Maybe it's on the horizon. I want to learn a little bit more about your business, Maggie, because you've done an incredible job of being able to grow your business quickly at a very busy time in your life. Part of it is you are awesome, but I know there's some other key things that you have done to be able to move it forward on the timeline that you have. Can you share with us a little bit about your trajectory of growth and some of the things that you think have contributed to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing, my internal drive, I will say, is something that is helpful. Like, I know I will not fail. So that keeps me moving in times of doubt and when I feel overwhelmed or like I'm just, you know, putting one foot in front of the other. But the other thing that helps most is support. I have incredible support, not only from my husband, my family, my entrepreneur friends, but also from mentors. And that's something that I do contribute to my growth a lot, is hiring other people who have done it ahead of me, show me the way. It has helped me in every area of growth. And I do believe that every time I've invested in that type of help, whether it be a program, a conference, or a private mentor, it has exponentially caused growth in my business and in my personal life.
So where did that philosophy come from? Because I really like that you said investing in these pieces, because I get a request a lot from people saying, oh, well, I don't want to invest. I really want a mentor. And then they say, will you be my mentor? Or how can I find a mentor? And I feel like one of the first things energetically that has to happen in order for mentors to come into your life is you have to have demonstrated to the universe that you are willing to invest in yourself. How did you learn that lesson? Because I feel like it's not intuitive for everybody.
You know, I think that it was a standard that was placed on me. My very first mentor was a paid mentorship. So I immediately was used to that being the standard. And then when I invested in my first ever conference, I remember I was scared to death. I remember it was $3,500. My little boy was only 5 months old, and I was so scared to leave him when I was making this decision to go to San Diego. It was the most expensive investment I made in myself. I was so scared. And when I came back, within 2 weeks after going to that conference, I had my biggest month of my entire business career, so much so that it allowed me to quit my job as a nurse practitioner for the hospital shortly after that. And I told my husband, never let me forget how important it is to pay the money and invest, because it comes right back. And so I just, ever since then, I just know that the money will always come back, but the time wasted and the frustration of me trying to figure it all out alone will not. That will be there. So I think it was just a shift of me seeing that direct return of income, I say, because and how much I grew as a person because of investing. And I do think, just the same as my clients, they have to invest to hire me. I do think when somebody's invested, not just from, you know, a mental standpoint, but financially, it helps them carry through, you know, take this seriously and implement, which I think is very helpful for you. It's helpful for you to have some stake in the game.
Hey, you, if you're a colleague, if you're a practitioner, if you are seeing patients, if you are looking to up level your impact in the health and wellness space, I wanted to let you know that we are hosting one heck of an amazing event taking place on November 21, 22, 23 in Toronto. Impact Lives is our signature flagship event that takes place on an annual basis, and it is a coming together of some of the most impactful people in the health and wellness industry. Over the 3 days, we are unpacking the mindset that has been holding you back from achieving the impact you have always dreamed of. We are spending a day looking at new tactics and techniques, some of the things that people are using in a cutting edge capacity to take their impact and their practice to the next level. And if you want to join us for our VIP bonus day, we are going deep in a workshop setting, 6 different workshops to up-level your mindset, your business, and your impact. Impact Lives is an incredible experience. And our promise to you this year is that when you walk through the door, you will not be capable of leaving as the same person you were when you arrived. If you want to learn more about how you can participate in Impact Lives, check us out online, www.impactlivesevent.com. I cannot wait to see you there. Yeah. Hallelujah on this conversation, because I work with a lot of practitioners, and we've got a lot of practitioners who hang out on the podcast here. And here's the thing I just keep saying to them energetically: you cannot expect people to invest in you if you can't in turn demonstrate that you are willing to invest not just in yourself, but in other people who are able to help you. There is an ecosystem of assistance that really requires the energetics of reciprocity, and constantly trying to DIY it yourself and never actually making the investment in the people who can help you. I feel like it's a huge energetic block to people wanting to make an investment in you. You just can't have it both ways.
Yeah, I agree with you so fully. And it's selfish for you not to invest in yourself. So as a business owner, you know, growing your business, increasing your marketing, learning more about the practice that you're practicing, whether that be functional medicine, naturopathy, or whatever it is, because you're not able to help your clients who you're asking to invest in you to your fullest. So it's just like this endless circle, you know, keeping the world going round. And it's so important. I know somebody once told me, you can never charge somebody what you've never invested in yourself. So if you've never paid $10,000 for something for you, you're probably energetically not going to be able to ask and close somebody else to invest that in you. It just kind of works out that way.
Where did you get comfortable asking people to invest in you? Do you tie this to a mission? Did you grow up with this capacity? Like, where does that come from? Because not everyone has it in the health space.
You know, I think that it's just a natural part of me. I am very confident. And I do think that that's a muscle that I've, you know, exercised my entire life. And then when I was brought into the entrepreneurial space, I was surrounded by some people who were doing amazing things in the world. And I saw what they were doing, what they were asking their clients to do, the high ticket sales that they were experiencing. And I soaked that up, and I had mentorship from them. I even invested in sales courses myself that helped me with my, you know, money mindset of having people invest in me, how to talk about money, how to talk about sales, because that's not natural to a lot of people, especially people who are medical, right? Like, that's not something that we're learned. And so I think it was a combination of my confidence, owning what I have to offer, knowing how valuable it is, and then surrounding myself with people who are doing it.
Yeah, this is so important. And I'm just going to do a spoiler alert here. You are coming to hang out with us at Impact Lives this year. And part of why I wanted you to come and be with us is I wanted to bring this philosophy and your way of thinking into the room, because I believe so strongly in the capacity for functional medicine and naturopathic medicine and all of these different systems of medicine that address the fundamental causes of disease, and really, I think, hold the key for us being fully optimized humans. But it requires that we tap into that mission, and then we add value in such a way to the landscape of health that it's okay for us to sell that. And it moves the needle in such a significant way in our society, but it requires that we have the bravery and the courage and the confidence to put it out there. So, you know, I really applaud what you are doing and the way that you've gone about it. And I just want everyone to hear that. Like, you were able to move your business forward on the trajectory that you have because you were willing to hang out in places that are traditionally uncomfortable. And that is one of those prerequisites for growth that I think is so important. That wasn't a question. That was a very long diatribe to say congratulations. But mindset is so, so important.
Yeah, it is. And I get it. I get what a lot of you are thinking, because you believe, I know this health knowledge. Who am I to keep it from somebody who I could really help if they can't afford me? You know, I get it. And I went through that when I first started out too, feeling guilty if I couldn't help somebody because they couldn't afford me, but I knew I could help them, you know? And another thing that really helped me is knowing that a really amazing entrepreneur told me this once: if you have a gift and an ability to make money, to make good income, it's your obligation, because the more that you make, the more you can help those people who couldn't invest, those people who can't even spend $20 a month on something, those people who don't have access to things that we have access to. You can make changes in massive ways. We donated an insane amount of money, an incredible amount of money to initiatives around the world last year, which I would never have been able to do to support those causes that I really feel strongly about if I had not created a successful business. And also, without income, you don't have a business. You will fail, and then you're helping nobody. So it's like, you have to, even though everybody needs and deserves health and wellness and your gifts, you just have to charge. You have to charge for your worth.
Well, and without an income, you don't even have a not-for-profit. Like, a board of a not-for-profit will not let it operate unless it has consistent and predictable and sustainable revenue streams. So it's required in order to be able to help people that element of your business or your contribution is on point. And I share this with people all the time, that you're not going to help more people by lowering your price point or eliminating cost altogether. You're going to help more people by innovating your offering. But innovation is a privilege of financial sustainability. And I love that that you're sharing that message in the same way, because your capacity to reach more people is so vastly accelerated now because of how you've structured your business. And it gives you room and space to innovate, because it also requires that you have a little bit of downtime, which you don't have a lot of with two young kids.
Exactly. Yeah. More clients with less pay equals more stress to you.
Totally. And it doesn't matter what you charge. If you're charging $10,000 or $100,000, you are going to have the same, it's the same amount of work. And it's still going to be the same ratio, where 20% of your clients are going to take up 80% of your time. And if you're not charging appropriately for what it is that you are doing, you run out of time. Time, not money, is the most limiting resource in all of this.
Exactly.
And so much of this, I would love for you to just comment quickly, because you're working with so many entrepreneurs. When you are having the opportunity to lift up the hood and understand their mindset, I think sometimes there's this idea that when people are successful or they do have a ton of money, that it changes them, that they're more disingenuous. Can you just share with us some of the examples of some of the really incredible societal contributions that some of your clients are making in a really broad context?
So the impact that they're making on the world to just make it a better place, is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Like what has their financial independence afforded them in terms of contribution back to the world?
So like from a standpoint financially, me along with a few other women entrepreneurs were able to give $300,000 to women entrepreneurs in different countries who are trying to create products that they can then sell to support their families, which is amazing. And then I also have seen a lot of people who, with their income, they know that their business is stable, the income is coming in. So they dedicate a lot of their time producing free, similar to you, producing free content like a podcast or programs or YouTube channels, and really, like, honestly, throwing their love and everything into this content for free so that everybody can become better just by taking in their knowledge.
I love this. Maggie, you have so much to share and you're doing so many incredible things in this world. I can't wait to have you at Impact. But before we wrap up this interview, the back half of the interview, I always ask everyone the same 6 questions. I call these our KPIs. So just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our lives as well. Can I throw some quick questions your way?
Oh, yes, yes. It makes me nervous, but yes.
Just take a deep breath. You can handle it. Maggie, who is inspiring you right now?
My husband.
Nice. Elaborate.
So he is so phenomenal. Not only does he support like every dream and vision, which a lot of times they're pretty out there that I have. Everything that I, you know, dream up, he's just full on board. Okay, let's make it happen. At the same time, totally taking care of our children. Sometimes when I travel, I bring the kids. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. And I know that they are so safe and taken care of with him. And he is totally just on board with taking the reins there, which, you know, some spouses or significant others may not be that way. And I just, the support is just phenomenal. He's awesome at everything he does.
I love that you acknowledge that. And I want to say too, because I think we're, you know, part of this conversation is like, what are some of the secrets to success and holding it all together? And my husband is a huge part of that. And I want to acknowledge that because not all women have that with their partners. And when your family is young, it's a huge, huge contributor to your ability to balance out all these things. So I love that you shared that. Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
Oh gosh, you know what? I have an embarrassing confession. I'm not much of a reader. So there you go for that podcast answer. I prefer to consume like podcasts and listening to inspirational material rather than reading.
Okay, fair enough. And I'm going to put a caveat on that because I feel like I should give people this option. But I say reading, but for me personally, I find it really hard when I have small people waking me up at night to actually get through a page in a book without falling asleep. So I consume most of my books through Audible.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Which makes a huge, it's embarrassing. Like the book is on my face every night. But Audible is such a great hack. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Nutrition. I really am. I fuel my body for success. And I'm not tempted by junk. I just am not, you know, driving by fast food restaurants does not tempt me. It doesn't tempt me to eat crappy because it makes me feel crappy. And I'm addicted to feeling amazing. So that's something that I'm super consistent with.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Ooh. Used to ride horses, grew up on a farm, middle of nowhere. And used to ride and compete with horses and barrel racing.
With barrel racing?
Yeah.
Okay, that is badass. I love it. What do you do for fun or play?
Hang out with the family and go to the lake. We are total Lakers. Live in the Midwest, so summers are spent up at the lake boating all day long. Definitely my favorite.
We've got a lot in common there. And finally, Maggie, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think we're born this way. I feel like every time somebody asks me questions on my entrepreneurship journey, I'm just like, I don't know. I've always been this way, at least for me personally. And my mom tells me stories of how I was when I was little. There's a video of me, and I created a pet hospital, and all of our cats at home are on my bed, and I have a big sign saying, like, welcome to the pet hospital, and I'm collecting money from my siblings to come to visit the cats. And I just feel like I personally have been born this way.
I can totally relate to that. And as you're saying you had a pet hospital, it reminded me, we lived out in the country, and I had a pet cemetery. I would every time my dog would get a squirrel, I'd have this ceremony thing. Mine's way more morbid than yours, but we're both initiative takers. Maggie Berghoff, it is a pleasure having you. Can't wait to have you in Toronto in November, but I know people are going to want to check out you and your work before we get to that date. Where should we send them to learn more about what you're up to?
Well, my website's maggieberghoff.com, but my favorite place to connect with everybody is Instagram. So I'm Maggie Berghoff on Instagram. And if you even just send me a DM and say, hey, I'd love to connect.
Amazing. Well, we will hook everyone up with links to all of the places that you hang out online. Maggie, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed our conversation today and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or Apple Podcasts and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast so you don't miss a single episode. And if you were thinking of joining us at Impact Lives, we would love to see you there. If we have any tickets left, we will see what we can do about getting you in the door so you have a chance to see Maggie and so many other incredible speakers and leaders just like her. I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. Maggie is one of the people doing that, and so are you. Until we hang out again next week, go build amazing stuff. Take care of yourself in the process, and we will hear you, see you, and speak to you again real soon.